practice and devotion that we Catholics have that I think is so important. And we use it during Lent, but it is a magnificent means of entering into the Christian life and a way of finding out where we are in our Christian walk with the Lord. And that is the Stations of the Cross. It has such a power. I would like to just review those. There are 14 Stations of the Cross. Perhaps in every Catholic church that you will go in, there are 14 scenes that are basically from the Scriptures and the events of Jesus on his way to the cross. And they're the crucifixion of Jesus. And as we make those stations, they are events of our own life. Since Jesus lives in us, I propose today that we look at these stations as events in my life and in your life and in every life of someone who listens to us today. When Jesus Christ took up his cross and said to each of us, "Take up your cross and follow me," every Christian is invited to follow Jesus and to go in his footsteps. And the footsteps of Jesus into which you and I were baptized. That's for Protestants, Orthodox, and Catholics. Every Christian who is baptized has been baptized into the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that in baptism, we have suffered with him, we have died with him, and we have risen with him. In your life, all through your life, you have had experiences of the way of the cross. And many times we fail to recognize how Jesus was in me and I in him, who Jesus, who through me suffers and in me suffers. So I would like to just begin with the calling of Jesus when he is about to, there's a beautiful two chapters of the scriptures, the 18th and the 19th chapter of John's gospel. But the introduction to it is, when he had said this, Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kedron Valley to where there was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. It's the Garden of Agony. Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and the Pharisees and went there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, now he's anticipating everything that's about to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am." Judas, his betrayer, was also with them. When he said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. Can you imagine the power of Jesus? So the whole incident here of his being taken is not that you have the power to take me. But all of Jesus' life, he said, "My hour has not yet come." By that he means the hour of his death. And so he now is entering the hour and choosing it. So he again asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill what he had said, "I have not lost any of these you gave me." So Jesus now is leaving the garden and he is about to enter into his passion. He is not doing so because they have overpowered him and taken him, but he is allowing himself to be taken and to follow the cross. In the 19th chapter, we begin with these words, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and clothed him with a purple robe. Hail, King of the Jews." Jesus is going through this agony. He's being scourged. He's being mocked. He has been betrayed. And so the trial continues. "Once more, Pilate went out and said to them, 'Look, I am bringing him to you so that you yourselves may know that I find no guilt in him.'" When we make the Stations of the Cross, this trial is brought up. It's the very first station. Now, each one of us, and I would encourage you, make the Stations of the Cross. Find the events in your life. It's not so much that Jesus went through this, but you also, each one of us, if we follow Jesus, have events in our life when we had to go through the same walk that he walked. The Stations of the Cross, the footsteps of Jesus to Calvary, are the steps that each one of us is asked to make. When in your life, you're Jesus, and I'm encouraging you this morning, when you make the Stations, to be Jesus. You are, because of baptism, Christ in the world today. This is not something that Jesus did in the year 33. This is something that began with my life and your life. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we too have been falsely accused. When in your life, and I'm asking you now to reflect on this event of your life, when have you been falsely accused? Jesus lives in the church today. Jesus lives in us. I'm visiting a priest, Monsignor Lynn, who's the priest from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And everyone knows he's innocent. And he has been falsely accused. Even the Philadelphia Inquirer says a tremendous injustice has been done. He has been sentenced to prison for something he never did. And he's spending these, now everyone, even in the prison, they know he's not a pedophile priest. But the false accusation was brought against him. And he is the one they really wanted to get the Cardinal Archbishop of Philadelphia. But they couldn't get him because he was sick and he finally died. But they had to get someone. And here's a man that was their token that they were going to do something to get a high-ranking official in the Chancery of Philadelphia. When I look at Monsignor Lynn, I see Jesus. But what about you? Now, this is not just in a particular case here and there. Every single one of us has. So were you in school and the teacher said, this is not your work, and it really was your work, and she accused you of cheating? How did you respond to that false accusation? When you were at the job and you were accused falsely of doing something you did not do, and you lost a position because of that false accusation, or you lost your credibility. Many times in our lives, you see, the cross is not just suffering. The cross is love. When I'm with Monsignor Lin, he has so embraced his cross. He has so seen the meaning of his life as being that which unites him with Christ. And his response, like Jesus, was not to hate Pilate and those who brought false accusations against him. In fact, the heart of Jesus was love. The cross is not suffering. The cross is love. The man who was crucified with Jesus, who was the bad thief, had the same suffering. He was crucified. So it wasn't just the crucifixion that Jesus had. The two that were crucified with him underwent the same penalty. But as the good thief said, we are going through this because of the things we did. The good thief was dying because he was a thief, and he robbed and whatever he did. And the bad thief had the same, but he died hating, angry, bitter. The Christian who goes through the suffering is motivated and united in love, because in you is Jesus. Through him, and with him and in him, you are going through what you are going through. The story of the mother recently in a tornado who threw her body over her two children and her legs were ripped off by the storm. Her children were saved and she suffered. But the suffering that she went through, call it a cross, yes, but it was love. What is the difference between the cross of Jesus and the cross of just suffering? Love. Love is the motivating force behind every Christian's action. So now you could turn a false accusation into anger, bitterness, retaliation, I'll get even with, or you can turn it as Jesus did, as he looked at Pilate. I'm telling the truth in the face of your false charge. As he looked out at those who were calling for his death, what was the mind and the heart of Jesus? I have come to save you. I have come to love you. I have come to die for you. That soldier who took his spear after Jesus died and put it into the side of Christ, truly you are the Son of God, was overwhelmed with the kingship of Jesus Christ, the King of love. That same love is in your heart for those who falsely accuse you. In your journey, there was a man who met Jesus along the way. In the Stations of the Cross, there was one of the stations where a man named Simon of Cyrene helped Jesus carry his cross. in your life, as you stand at that station, and in mine, who is the person? Who is your Simon of Cyrene who helps you carry your cross? I know a beautiful young man, Christian Bundy. He's a paraplegic. He's in a wheelchair. He's just young. It happened to him when he was 18 years old. When I see his mother daily attending to him, when I see his father watching over him, what a magnificent example I see of Simon of Cyrene. Yes, when the day this happened to Christian, I went to the hospital, and he had a severed spinal cord, and it never was going to be repaired. And he's going to spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. But here is his Simon of Cyrene. Christian Budney is carrying his cross, but he has his Simon of Cyrene, who helps him daily. I wonder if you're an amputee and you had just come back from Afghanistan, or you're back from Iraq and you have amputation, and you also, do you see that in your life there is also someone that God has sent? Who is your Simon of Cyrene? Who is there in your life that's helping you carry your cross? In one of the stations of the cross, there is a woman who breaks through the crowd, and she has a veil. It's called Veronica's Veil, as a reward for what she did. She went up to Jesus, and in his sweat and blood, she bathed his face, and she was compassionate to him. And on that veil was image of Jesus Christ. Vera is true icon image. The true image of Jesus Christ is there on Veronica. You may have even seen images of Veronica's veil. It really means true icon. But the person who was compassionate to Christ and saw him suffering and in anguish and took compassion on him. In your journey, when did you meet your Veronica? Who was that person who in your deep suffering saw you and had love and compassion for you? I know Eddie Halloran. He also is a paraplegic. He was a magnificent swimmer. And in diving to save someone, someone jumped in and actually broke his neck. And he's been a paraplegic also. I see his dad and his mother totally dedicated to him. He had a girlfriend, and she stayed with him for a time. But then she went and fell away. But to have someone who is so compassionate and so loving, who is your Veronica? One day, I was on a bus in Beirut, and I was on my way to the airport, and some Muslim extremists had gotten on the bus, and they began to beat up the bus driver, knocked his teeth out, bloodied him. And there was a woman there who was on the bus. And as they went off the bus, he was left in a heap of just beaten to a pulp. And I still remember her she had like she had a, how, where she got it from, I don't know, but she was soothing him and wiping off his face from the blood and the suffering that he had gone through. And I always saw her as a Veronica for that bus driver. In your life and in mine, every Christian will meet a Veronica. Who is the person who strips you? When Jesus was going to be crucified, and one of the stations of the cross, we have Jesus being stripped. You know, Christian modesty puts a loincloth on Jesus, but he was naked to add to his ignominy, crowned with thorns, scourged, and naked. He was nailed to the cross. Who strips you? I know this man who had lost his job, and he was falsely accused by his ex-wife because he was going to divorce her. And he was a minister. And he was a minister in a church. And his wife, suspecting that he had committed adultery, and he never had, falsely accused him, brought the charges before his bishop, and wanted to make sure he never worked again as a minister. She did everything she could. And I see that minister losing his job, losing his reputation, losing even his daughter. And his wife. See, the stripping sometimes that goes on in our lives. Who is the one who stripped you? That was the one that Jesus loved. Jesus in his love forgives. Jesus in his love is always loving. Jesus never retaliated or hated. Our salvation was brought not just through his suffering. Many people suffer. But Jesus suffered with love. In you, he is through your baptism. When people strip you and beat you, you have a capacity to love them. Who is your betrayer? When Jesus was there, and he was arrested. Do you know how the betrayer betrayed him? With a kiss. Jesus said, "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Can you see the eyes of Jesus on his betrayer? Have you been betrayed? Are you someone who was kissed by your spouse on the day you were married and then betrayed? And when you discovered that this person whom you loved so much turned on you and for money, I know a man like that. His wife took everything he had. And in my trying to help him along his Christian path, to encourage him to love her, to forgive her, you and I have a power to love those who have betrayed us. Even for money. How many times in our lives do we have someone who denies us? When Jesus was going to trial. And when Jesus was taken into custody, Simon Peter, his chief person, whom he trusted and loved, denied him. And he knew that he was going to do that. And before the morning came, before the cock crowed for the morning, during that night, he denied him three times. Who was your Simon Peter? Who is the one who denied you? Did you have a friend sometime and you really were relying on him? There's a beautiful story I know about a young boy who his friend was being made fun of because he was a kind of a nerd, and they were in school. And when his friend was being picked on and the kids were making fun of him, he went over and stood by him and put his arm around him. That young boy, he was only about 8 or 9 years old. That young boy who put his arm around the friend that was being picked on was not Simon Peter, who denied his friend in the midst of the testing, but stood up to the crowd. But have you had people, when you were being tormented or suffering, who just went along with the crowd and denied you? The most painful moment of the cross is being on the cross. And each one of us has been through this. And it's the cry of Jesus on the cross. Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you abandoned me? That cry out of Jesus is the suffering and the death and that 12th station. And Jesus, when he turned to the Father, have you had times in your life when you have felt that even God has left you? Has the darkness of the cross had you experience, my God, not even you are there? Sometimes in our life, we feel as if even God has left us and is not answering our prayer. In our lives, when your son got killed and you screamed with anguish, my God, why have you abandoned me? Or when you found some tremendous anguish in your life, that you had gone through a divorce, rejection. So many of us do come to a point, and if Jesus went through it, is it okay to get angry with God? Yes. He got angry with God, and what he was praying, and it was a prayer, which he often said as a good Jew, Psalm 22. That's the words that the psalmist says, my God, why have you abandoned me? You answer other people's prayers when they cry. Our ancestors prayed to you and they escaped, but I am a worm, hardly human. The anguish, the pain, and the suffering of Jesus on the cross, did that mean he was an unfaithful servant of the Father? Not at all. Those words were in the psalm. He will and wants to fulfill his Father's will, and he always did. But in anguish, there comes a time in each of our lives. What did he do after he screamed that? And he bowed his head and said, it is finished. I have done everything that my Father wanted. The 12th station Some of you are in hospice who may be listening to this cast. You now are there on the cross. Your bed in hospice is your cross. Your breathing that is so labored, and you may be just hearing my voice. And God is so intimate to your life right now because you're about to die. You are with him and in him, and you always will be. Your life in its completion, all of us, every one of us who is a baptized Christian knows that sooner or later we will be where you are. He is there. He went through the death before you, and he rose again. What you're about to experience is the completion of your life here in this world as a Christian. That life began when you were baptized. You were baptized into his death, and you lived your life of suffering, of anguish, and of pain. And now, because all of us are going to die, that eventual death, that's a physical death, as well as those spiritual deaths. Many times during our lives, my brothers and sisters, we're going to make the stations of the cross. We are going to go through those events that the stations talk about. And each one of us have events in our lives that are with him and through him. Jesus in me is suffering the way of the cross. Jesus in me is drinking the chalice. When you go to Mass, can you drink the cup, he said, that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? You have been. And I have been. Who are you, my brother and sister Christian? You are Jesus. And Jesus cannot be Jesus without the cross. In this world, there are many, as Archbishop Sheen used to frequently point out, that have the cross without Jesus. There are many in this world that are suffering famine and pain and war, and they have not been baptized. They're just suffering, and they're just dying. And they haven't had the magnificent gift of baptism. The Holy Spirit has not, how important it is for us to evangelize those who have the cross without Jesus. There are many in our Western world who have Jesus but don't want the cross. They want a rubber-foamed cross. They want their delight in this world as well as in the next. Well, there's news. And this is the news, that every Christian has the cross. Without the cross, there isn't Jesus. You are Jesus, and you have the cross. And that cross is love. Your union with Jesus on the cross gives you a potential to suffer and to die with love. In all of the events, and especially the events of your daily life, discover where you are suffering and dying with him and in him and through him.
Any final thoughts on this, Monsignor?
I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, he shall live forever, and I will raise him up and I will raise him up, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus has come to bring us not death, but life. God bless.